Let us pray. Father God, speak to us through your word today. Continue to make us the kind of people you want us to be. Bless us and draw us close to you and to each other at this wonderful time of Christmas. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. To start, I'd have to say kings can be found in strange places. I am sure most of you remember Saddam Hussein of Iraq. He caused a lot of trouble in his region, including and starting with the invasion of Kuwait and drawing us into the war. And that, of course, led to a long and troubled relationship with the United States. You will recall that we finally invaded Iraq to put an end to it all. But what an ending. Out of all the places I would have thought our armed forces would finally find him, I did not expect it to be in some hole in the ground under a rundown house. He was the king of Iraq. I expected him to go out in a blaze of glory. A huge battle to the death. There is actually a somewhat similar story in the Bible about another king. You recall Israel had requested a king from God. They wanted a king like all the other nations. God granted the request. And Samuel personally told Saul ahead of time that he was going to be the king of Israel. And then Samuel made a public showing to make it official that Saul, son of Kish, had been chosen as the king. But when they looked for Saul, he could not be found. It turns out he had hidden himself among the baggage. Either he wasn't ready to be king or he didn't want to be king. Even more strange than these revelations about two earthly kings is how and where Christ, the King of Kings, came into this world. Where was he born? In a manger? It was not in a palace or the capital city of Jerusalem like we might have thought. What was he doing there? We are in the fourth Sunday of Advent today as we prepare to celebrate the coming of Jesus at Christmas. And also his coming at the end of the age, that great day of the Lord. And we are using chapter 10 from Hebrews as our focal point. This text from Hebrews directs us to the reason Jesus came at Christmas and why he will return. The writer also addresses the relationship between the Old Testament sacrificial system and the life of a Christian community. This is more important than you may think. Question. Do the demands of the sacrificial system in the Old Testament apply in any way to Christians today? Well, obviously, we're not engaged in offering bloody sacrifices of animals or even offering sacrifices of grains in our church. So the answer is clearly no. So why am I preaching on it this morning? I am preaching on it this morning because people still create their own sacrificial systems, holding on to the human, error-based belief that the things they are doing will make them holy. Many, many people have the erroneous notion that doing good things makes them a holy person. Now, there's a lot of good things going on in the Christian church. Let's start there. Some give generously to the church. Some spend a tremendous amount of their time in service to God. Right here at St. Mark, too. Some are great leaders within the church. Others have skills, like our musical skills. We're blessed, as they said at the last service, with all the people that are gifted in the music ministry at our church. Some are leaders within the church. Some have spent a lifetime in service to Christ. Some are in church practically every Sunday. Do these things make a person any more holy? Not in themselves. None of this can ever make one of the Lord's worshipers into a holy person. I'm not saying these activities don't have value. They certainly do. They are of great help to Christ's church. But they do not make a person holy. And holiness is of super importance with God. Back in the Old Testament, in Leviticus, it says, "You shall be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy." His will is to make His worshipers holy. Holiness is the nature of God. To be welcome in the presence of God, a person needs to be holy. That means one has to be first clean and pure. Can anybody tell me how to do that? You see, God established the sacrificial system for His Old Testament people so they could be clean and holy in His presence. An animal or plant substitute could die, and temporarily God accepted this in the place that brought forgiveness and purity on the person as they had contact with God. But it's not what they were doing that made them holy. God used these sacrifices to remove guilt, sin, and impurity, at least for the moment, during their encounter with the Lord. To those who had been made clean, God gave His holiness when they came into His presence. If you obeyed His commands and did the various sacrifices, you were allowed contact with God, and God would communicate His holiness to His people. So we must make sure we get this straight. It was what God did, and not what the people did, that brought them holiness. And yet, this sacrificial system could only be temporary. As Hebrews 10:6 puts it, quote, "In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure." The one thing the sacrifices did was to point ahead to the great sacrifice that was coming, the coming sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. But keep in mind what Hebrews tells us, it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins, even if God said to sacrifice them. God's the one that takes away sins. Now, the notes from our ESV study Bible explain this. Again, I want to encourage you, if you're doing Bible readings, it's great to have a copy of the self-study Bible with its notes. Well, I looked it up for this section, because as Laurie said, some people find this a difficult reading. And some people find getting the understanding, the main point behind, difficult also. I'm going to read you the notes. Listen carefully. I think this is really worth listening to, and you will find value in it. quote, "These animal sacrifices symbolize the payment for sin." But they did not accomplish it. No animal was worthy of paying the price for a human being's sin before a holy God. The law assumed that atonement and forgiveness occurred by the means of these sacrifices. However, and here's a key point, last year's sacrifice did not cover this year's sins. Thus, people were left with guilty consciences and in their sinful condition. Is that right? That certainly is right. A permanent sacrifice was necessary to deal permanently with sin. And Hebrews 10:10 explains that we have that when it says, "We have been sanctified." Sanctified means made holy. "We have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Just as God has a means to convey His holiness and mercy to His Old Testament people, He offers the same to His New Testament people. How does He do that today? Through the proclamation of His Word, through the confession of our sins, and through receiving the body and blood of our Lord in Holy Communion. Through these means, we are made clean and brought into contact with God's holiness. So prepare the royal highway. The next 2 days, we celebrate God keeping His promise and sending our Savior Jesus to die and pay for our sins. But all the while we're celebrating, keep in mind, Jesus is coming again. And all of God's worshipers will be completely holy at His coming. And we will have a place in the presence of God forever and ever. All hail King Jesus. Amen.